out of London town to go-go. Oh, with the record selection and the mirror's reflection, I'm a-dancing with myself. Oh, when there's no one else inside, in the crowd and lonely night. Well, I wait so long for my love vibration, and I'm dancing with myself. Oh, oh, dancing with myself. Oh, oh, dancing with myself. Oh, when there's nothing to lose and there's nothing to prove, I'm dancing with myself.
All right. Well, how's that for 80s morning madness, huh? Well, Republic of Texas Radio, February 19th, 23. Ah, yes, Billy Idol. He came on the scene as a, well, sore thumb to the world, right? Dressed up like a crazy man. Well, he wasn't as crazy as most, right? You know, he just had white hair and he kind of moved his lips kind of funny and he danced by himself. And he did all this other crap. I was a kid when I heard that stuff. And I was a kid going, wow, this guy looks strange. Steve, you do not know anything. Or that was the old Steve, didn't know anything. Nowadays, I can go out to a coffee shop, to a gas station, as long as they still remain, and see somebody that will surpass the dressing and body styles that Billy Idol had. It's kind of funny. But I did play that clip particular reason, right? Because it was on topic. You know, Billy Idol is doing a great concert. If you can call it a concert, really. What's a concert? You know, he's doing a concert over at the Hoover Dam to promote awareness. What are we doing promoting awareness? Oh, my God. 250 people will be able to go see Billy Idol dance by himself. And I don't know, maybe he has a band still. Got to be pretty old. He's going to be like in a walker and all leathers and wrinkles. I don't know. Whatever. Alan, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, RBN family, Steve, and the rest of the world. I prefer to do the safety dance. I've always kind of enjoyed dancing with midgets.
Safety dance? Oh, crap. Yeah, I don't know, man. It all hurts. It all hurts. But yeah, you know, I guess we got a little bit. We'll do a little bit of Lake Mead update, you know, today. There's really not much to go over, but we do have an awful lot to talk about. And that's kind of fascinating. Hey, if Andy's around, I just want to tell him this. Let's just use those words. That cat that you like so awful much, the sweetest cat ever, right? We call her Pretty Girl, right? She's the nicest kitty, right? Until she's not, right? She loves doing this thing in the middle of the night. She wakes up and she pounds on things and, you know, walks on things and breaks things. She did that just last night. Actually, my cats have been completely insane today, Alan. You know how they get. I think it's the coming of spring. They sense the invasion of Donetsk or whatever, Ukraine or whatever. Maybe they're libertarians. I don't know. But they're just going nuts. They're not as bad as years past. I used to have them walking on my keyboard trying to send text messages to Sam over there in Round Rock and via Skype. But I figured out a way to deal with them. You just pick them up and throw them outside. Says, you want to keep talking? Do it outside. Well.
Yep, kind of like taking a belt to an unruly child. Oh, I'm sorry, that used to happen when we actually had societies and taught children values and morals and what you can and can't get away with, instead of just saying, no, go sit in the corner and have some downtime. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Hey, you had a great show last week, you know, and potentially we're going to continue that today at 2 o'clock, right?
Everything goes right. Yes, Judith will be back with me today, and we'll continue on. And I will say this to start off with: it's like, you know, folks, if you're listening to this and you're going to listen to that, for this at least this next week, this at least today, going to try not to take calls again. Let Judith flesh out as much as we can, and if she agrees, you know, we will take some calls possibly in some future shows. She's very accommodating, and has a lot of knowledge that I'd like to pick her brain myself for a little bit before I let all y'all get on it, you know, and start horning in on it.
Yeah, I totally agree. We'll talk about that more the second hour, because I know a lot of y'all, you know, missed the first hour. You're all sleeping and stuff, you know, while we're dancing with ourselves or by ourselves, or that's right, pronoun. Mm, there. Yeah, Ellen had and is having Judith Vary Baker on. Right, that's the famous story of Lee Harvey Oswald and Dr. Mary's monkey. Ooh, that's wow, that's history. Anyways, we'll get back to that. Right, I don't want to I don't want to hit that in the first hour. Really, you know, there's so much other stuff that we can be talking about. But
Hey, go back to your late need stuff. I mean, is there any new situations? Have they had rain? Is it filling up?
You'll like this little bit, I guess. So as far as is it filling up, Lake Mead is up, and that was from the rain fallout, right? So the water came down, and so, you know, everything was great, and they're like, look, it's going up. Lake Powell didn't get the love. Right, Lake Powell's right above Lake Mead. And Lake Powell, well, they decided that they needed to sacrifice Lake Mead to save Lake Powell, because Lake Powell's going to hit Deadpool before Lake Mead hits Deadpool. And so they turned the valve. Okay, less water for Mead, but Mead's still up and Powell's still down. And they're looking at Powell and they're going, oh, crap. Well, meanwhile, there's a group called the there always is a group, right? USBR, dun, dun, dun. And it published a scoping summary after online messages from November and December from the public. Ha! And so they summarized what the public was saying. Can you imagine that, Alan? How's that for a Delphi technique? Right, you take in a whole bunch of comments via the web, and then you rewrite them all, and just tell the public what they said.
Well, it's kind of like the whole situation, Steve. It's like, see, how are we going to solve the low water problem? Let's let millions more illegals come across and keep building in the middle of a desert, so we can save water by using more water. What?
But the gaslighting continues, right? And oh, okay, I'm going to segue real quick. The gaslighting continues. The constant this, the constant that of Lake Mead, Lake Powell, snowpack, rainfall. It's going at all these people that care, that it matters to. Do I care? Yes. Does it matter to me? Well, yes, I guess it matters to everybody. Because when this failure happens or does not happen, there's going to be a disaster in the corporate United States of America, you know, U.S., in general, right? So they're going to clamp down on that water. Anyways, back to the gaslighting. There was a study, right, on gaslighting. Where is that dang thing? It says, they went out and asked the general public, and the kind of crazy thing is they knew what gaslighting was. And 50% said that they were being gaslit by the media and by their own government. Wow, that's fascinating. Can they truly see it, or did they just have a friend at a water cooler tell them? But you know what? Besides the water cooler talk, things like Glamour magazine and all these things are, how do you tell if your partner is gaslighting you? It's like, oh, crap. No, and it's good, I guess, you know, try to figure that out, but they are aware of it. But there's a great big gaslighting thing happening with Lake Mead, Lake Powell. Now, y'all, I've told you before where I think that's going. It's the whole thing is about tearing down damn dams, right? Let's get rid of the dams. Right,
to save the hoodie face blowfish, yeah.
Well, just to save the whatever, right? Who cares to save the whatever? You know, it's just we're gonna kill y'all, so you don't need those dams, right? You know, because if you take it all the way back, Alan, you know, they don't need all this power; they just need specific power, right? And what would be better, the Hoover Dam? Well, that was a great project. You know, they did that during the Depression. one of the first big dams, the biggest dam ever built, you know, in first place, right? But it can go away. You know, it can go away.
You know how they could save the water being sucked out of that? Just have a train wreck upstream from it, and you won't be able to drink the water, so the lake will fill back up. Nothing could live in it, but at least the lake would be full again.
Well, Alan, once again, I'm not sure how to take your comment.
I'm just trying to get the government mindset on how to save the world, you know, Greta Thunberg and all that stuff.
See, again, well, I don't know. Are they trying to save the world? I know they're trying to kill a lot of people. They want to kill a lot of people. They want to reduce the energy output of the planet and focus it specifically on a few individuals that will get energy usage to do whatever. Excuse me, keep their brains in a jar like Futurama. Well, maybe not, but Lake Mead, Lake Powell, we were talking a little bit about them, and so the current thing is they're being gaslit. They're saying, oh, the water level of Lake Mead is now, and this is above sea level, right, is 1,042, 1,062, and once it drops below 900, it's called probably 890 feet. But then who knows where it is right now, because each news industry reporting is different. And they're like, oh, the latest. And I'm like, well, huh? You're confusing me, right? You're not right, right? So what do I use your facts for? Oh, it's a rough approximation. I'll give you a rough approximation. No, anyway, so Lake Mead is up. And Lake Powell is down, but there's enough snow in them thar hills to fill both of them. Oh, do say. So we're gonna be done, right? Oh no, that's just because it's snow, and by the time snow gets down there, it usually only does 6%. So they write these articles. It's great. It's enough snow in the mountains to fill both the Powell and Lake Mead. And everybody goes, yay, I'll read that. And they go, boo, but it's not going to help. Oh, we've been doing this so many years.
How are they going to get the snowpack to melt? Are they going to, like, napalm the mountains to get the snow to melt to fill the lake back up or something? Or, you know, I mean, we're doing that to ourselves. Global warming, sorry.
Global warming. Back in California, when we were having droughts, when I lived there, they did the craziest things, Alan, right? So they figured out that, hey, water evaporates. I'm kind of like going, no beat, right? And so they did all these tests, and then they sat there and they took the California Aqueduct, right, which was a man-made thing that ran throughout California, and it was concrete and, you know, different things, probably some clay at some point, and it ran.
You know, Steve, you know, something that relates to this is that we're allowed to do it here, but Gaddafi was not allowed to do that in Libya, you know, bring, you know, to make the desert green.
Now, Alan.
You know, that was the first thing that was blown up, and we went into Libya to save them.
Rules for thee, but not for me. Come on, you know the rule. Jeez.
Yeah, I know.
Sometimes, dude.
But I am an American, so I forget about stuff like that, Steve. Yeah.
We can't take you anywhere. It's terrible. But anyway, so California did this thing, and they're like, well, we're going to keep the water from evaporating. You know, they didn't have a good accent or anything like that. But the water, so they decided to cover it up, and they tried covering it up for stretches with a sheet-type material, and they found out that killed off the wildlife in the area. And they're like, no, really? And then they did the floaty balls thing, where they filled it full of, like, floaty balls that we throw kids in nowadays, you know, little plastic balls that float on top of the water, and that reduced the evaporation a little bit, but you had a whole bunch of floaty balls, and then that created other kind of stuff, and, well, I don't know. I don't know where it went, where it fell off. I was young when they were doing that.
They put a bunch of rubber duckies down it, and then they could sell tickets, and you can go in and pick a rubber ducky out, and you can get a prize depending on what number's on the bottom of your ducky, kind of like you did at the fair when you were a kid.
Yeah. Well,
there's
I mean,
all kinds of solutions we could come up with.
We could, and the public probably is right now making comments on the website, right, going, I think you, and you know, old grandpa, you know, and then there's the millennial, right? So grandpa and the millennial is over at the, what the hell are those guys called again? Let's get back to that one. USBR website. Sunday USBR website. Comment. You go over there and going, I think we should tear down the dams and let everybody die so the earth can be reborn and reborn new and hail gloaming warming. Thank you. That's a millennial comment. No, I don't know. Maybe that's generation.
It sounded like Greta Thunberg to me. How dare you?
No, I mean, it's totally crazy because with such a big catastrophe that is happening, you know, it's huge, right? And but you can't get a straight truth out of the Colorado River nightmare, if you want to call it a nightmare. It hasn't even started. Maybe it started, right? Right now we're at the horror movie where, well, they're driving in the car and they're having a lot of fun and they realize they're low on gas. You know, it doesn't start until you run out of gas and get out of the car.
That brings back memories of Sherry in Kansas when she called up and said, you know, I worked at this car dealership for a while, and had a guy came in, bought a new car, went out and drove it, and all of a sudden it stopped running. So he had it towed back to the dealership, and they found out that he just ran out of gas. And when they called the number to tell the guy his car was fixed, they answered it military intelligence.
Yeah, that was like an Acura dealer in a Honda NX or an Acura NSX, real expensive high performance car. Yeah, I guess that's kind of the problem that we're dealing with. Except that guy just went back to a cubicle. Hey, by the way, I got some interesting Apple news that I'm going to make fun of here in a little bit. But let's finish off the Lake Mead stuff. You know, because there's really nothing to say about Lake Mead at this point except for, well, it's up, okay? Will that do, right? And it's going to go down. And there is no solution at hand. Billy Idol dancing with himself by himself, Rebel Yell, that ain't going to work, right? You know, it might work for him. At least he's going to have fun, right? You know, singing by Lake Mead or on top of it, that'd be fun, right? If you're a musician, you know, $250, and he's cheap. Damn. He was only charging $750 a head, or $1,400, which seems cheap nowadays for a musician to play for pittance, you know. But there's only like 250 people get to go see Billy Idol.
To see a guy on stage in a wheelchair with piped in music, he probably can't sing or anything. And what's he going to do? Like wheel around and dance in a wheelchair?
I don't know, man. I don't know. At least they get to go over to the Lake Mead and, you know, say something. Bragging rights got to be worth something. But meanwhile,
like AOC going to a $25,000 plate dinner in a dress that said "Tax the Rich."
Tax the rich. But it's going to be interesting to find out what happens come this spring, because the water's going to start flowing, the Colorado's going to start going, and the water's going to go. Where's it going, man? Where's it going? You know, nobody really knows.
Maybe they diverted the Ohio River to the Colorado River, and that's how they're filling Lake Mead up again. Won't be drinkable, but it'll be full again.
Yeah, I don't know. That whole public comment thing, you know, that really got me as a, you know, a rope-a-dope, you know, Delphi technique, you know. Okay, we're opening up for comments. Okay. So, group one, you're going to come up with this conclusion. Group two, you're going to, get into groups, and here's our facilitator. Do you think that? It seems to be pretty dominant in our world, you know, how it puts it together. So,
I know how they can solve it, Steve. They can solve it like they do in our local community here. You know, folks, is it like every week or every month? They have coffee with the manager here. You can go have coffee with the city manager and sit down and talk with him, and he really listens to you. Delphi.
Yeah. Delphi, yeah. Well, you know, Alan, you're behind the times. He's out. Has he left yet? The new, our new Agenda 21 city manager. What's his name again? It's not Kent Estes Cook. That's the paper owner. I guess he's fallen to the back of my mind. He came from a our manager. Let's do that story real quick. Back in 2011, 2012, this place was a little bit in turmoil, right? This place being Fredericksburg, Texas. We had a young lady. Her name was Nancy Battle. She wasn't that young, but she had some spunk in her. And Nancy Battle went over to the city council, and she'd just moved from Colorado, and she'd seen some problems with Colorado, and she saw some problems with, well, the way that the city council was doing things. I think that was 2011, I'm pretty sure. And Nancy Battle went over there, and somebody called me up, right? And they go, hey, there's this chick, right? She's going to go talk to the city council about the New World Order. You should go. And I go, oh, hell yeah, that's going to be fun. And Nancy Battle gets up and she says, I need to talk to you all about the New World Order. And I look at their faces and they're like,
ICLEI is creating a policy that this town is running on in ICLEI of the United Nations. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was precious.
Oh, yeah. That was a hell of a show. And they said, she's crazy. She's crazy. They're crazy. Then the city manager resigned. He said, I am leaving as city manager. And then they went on a hunt. Dun, dun, dun. How do you go on a hunt if you're a city for a new city manager? Y'all probably know, right? You hire a consultant. You give the consultant a whole bunch of money. And he comes back with one city manager on a hook, right? And this city manager, in our case, he was paid $260,000 a year to come in and turn our city into a winery. I mean, a wino's haven, a wino nest. I don't know. I don't know what you want to call it. But then, you know, that actually happened. Let's see. I think I got something coming in here. Let's see. Da-da-da-da. No, I'm wrong. Okay, so he came in, and then that was 12 years ago. God, I need you to help me out here, Alan. His name is drawing a complete blank. The city manager of Fredericksburg, Texas. And I could do a search, but I kind of take my brain away from the...
But anyway, we remember Kent Estes Cook because the newspaper sold at that same
that
time,
was the
and they
same
brought in
time.
A new editor to the paper, to our local paper, and you had to watch. But there were subtle changes. It went from just being kind of boring local news to Agenda 21 local news.
Oh, yeah. It was a fascinating time, folks.
The paper changed hands within like 2 weeks. Yeah,
and then he comes in and he started the wayfinding. What the hell's a wayfinding? We said. He's all, we're going to put up signs. And I'm like, oh, crap, really? Is that what it is? Well, it's called wayfinding. You know, you're like, oh, okay, so it's Agenda 21. It was already defined in there. I'm like, oh, no, crap. Yeah, I should have known that. They're going to put up signs. We've got our first World Heritage site. Then they started the Green Zones thing, the Greeny Weeny thing, started borrowing money,
all that stuff,
the Dark Skies Initiative, you know, and all this stuff just flowed in, and now he's leaving. But yeah, again, I can't get his name, you know, because he came from Port Arthur.
Myers. His last name was Myers.
Kent Myers. Yeah. It was Kent Myers, yeah.
Yeah.
He came from Port Arthur. And it was a little town that they kicked the Agenda 21ers out, right? So he lost. He was trying to bring in ICLEI and all this other stuff. And so his first attempt at pushing the globalization, you know, failed. And then he came here and he won. Well, did he? is it the end of the dance, or, you know, did he run away?
And Steve, I knew what was going to happen instantly, because they put his accomplishments, you know, when they hired him on, they, you know, where he'd been, what he'd done. And when I saw that he won a Green Award from the American Planning Association, I just, like, slapped my head and I'm like, all right, yeah, things are going to get better now.
Yeah. Oh, God, I wanted to vomit every time that. And that might be a technique of theirs. When you sit in the city council meeting and you want to vomit first thing, you know, the first thing that he'll do is he walks up and he goes, I just want to acknowledge a great employee here. And every week he had a great employee. And this cop, he was more copy cop than any other copy cop, right? Or this fire department and this guy, he's cruising light bulbs. And this is the best trash man ever. You're like, oh, crap. It really reminds me of the school system. Everybody gets an award. sick and perverted.
Anyway.
So,
yeah,
anyways,
we're twisting off in all different kinds of directions, aren't we, Steve? But that's kind of
easy. We're kind of staying, you know, within my parameters. You know, gaslighting, let's get back to it. This article from a news organization that you like, that you miss, you can't find on KU Band anyways, not anymore, not at this time. By the way, folks, support Republic Broadcasting. They're still up there on satellite for you. You know, takes a lot of money to get up there, and we need your support. But Russia Today left, man, AVRN left the other week.
Yeah, I will appeal to the satellite listeners as someone who kind of is mainly a satellite listener. Yeah, if you've been out there listening all these years and never donated or called and at least told RBN that they appreciate them still being on KU Band, let them know. Give them a little donation, something, so we can stay here and babble at you every Sunday morning.
Well, you know, it's informed babble, Alan. I mean, come on. It's just, anyways, here's your Russia Today, Alan. And here's where you folks need to use your own brain to understand if this is true or not true, because Russia Today is used as a propaganda arm of, well, the Russian people. That's the question, right? Okay, here's the article name. Half of Russians no longer need Western brand. Dun, dun, dun. It's a survey, right? And so allegedly they went out and they did a survey, and they say this in text. Nearly half of Russians have successfully found domestic substitutes. Sure sounds like somebody's blowing smoke at me. For foreign products made unavailable.
What do you mean, Steve? There's nothing made in the Western arena anymore. It's like Russia just figured out, it's like, hey, we can deal with China too.
Oh, God, they call, yeah, well, okay, is that gaslighting? They're buying it directly from Asia instead of buying it from the West, America. Yeah, and so they've completely, here's the part, the other part. They go on to say that the Russians have made say they don't care about U.S. products. And you know what? I don't care about American products. Well, I guess Alan just corrected me there. We don't buy anything Western.
Hey, folks, you know, still, it's like if I find something that's made in the United States, not made in USA, which as far as I know is a province in China, but if it says made in the USA, I'll call them up, and instead of complaining, I'll call up and say, thank you for being made in the United States. I said, as long as you're around and you're still made in the United States, I'll continue to buy your product. Thank you for still being American. And they're like, what? It's like they're used to calls of people calling up complaining. It's like, I'll call up and compliment them. And it's rather comical, the reactions you get from the little person on the phone. But go ahead.
Well, you know, yeah, it is kind of comical. So let's just finish this without getting into any commentary from me. It says nearly half the Russians successfully found domestic substitutes for foreign products made unavailable due to sanctions. And then they say, citing a poll by the Nestlin IQ Research Company, according to the findings over the past year, 40% of the Russians have completely switched to locally produced brands or begun to buy products of local production more often. about a third of the respondents did not change their preference and continued to buy the same brands they used to before 2022. And then the respondents, that's a weird word, cited several reasons for turning to local brands. Over half of them said they did it to support domestic producers, while 20% pointed to the inability to find foreign goods at a reasonable price. Another 10% said they couldn't find foreign goods that matched the quality and characteristic they've seen in their Russian products. Sounds like I feel smoke, right? I really do. But that's what we were, that's what we're talking about, nationalism. That's what I was expecting to see in Britain, in London, in the UK, United Kingdom. What the hell is they call it? Britain, the Isle of Britain, the ungreat, whatever. You know, they did the Brexit, right? British exit. And now they should start producing their own hats and their own clothes and their own this and their own that. But they were all tooled for the wrong thing. They were tooled to sell chocolate-covered marshmallows to the French. Right? And then they're like, well, I used to sell a bunch of these, but now I can't know if anybody wants them. Oh, crap. You know, I think Russia potentially still had industry in it. Right? They'd always been the whipping boy of the globe. And I'm not saying that they weren't rightfully the whipping boy. I'm not saying that they weren't wrongfully the whipping boy. You know, they do serve a place, and I don't know where that
I think is. The rest of the world is just jealous because they have 16 time zones. You know, hell, we've only got four. You know, that's nothing. That's only like a quarter of Russia, you know, so yeah, we're just jealous.
Yeah. Hey, another Andy thing, right? Hey, Andy, you know, those guys over at here it is. Those guys over at Nestle, they believe Andy, and they think that the world is going to be doomed via food prices. Now I'm paraphrasing an article over at Russia Today. It says, global food giant issues grim warning. Here's the words. It says, we at Nestle agree that Andy Wilson is right, and food prices will continue to go up. That's kind of like that. But, you know, I'm just getting through my RT stuff, you know.
Worry, Steve. We won't actually need chickens anymore because now we've got synthetic eggs that are going to come out. They're going to be much, much tastier and last much longer. In fact, you could put these synthetic eggs out on a fire ant mound and the fire ants wouldn't touch it.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to figure some dang thing out. You know, I was touching on gaslighting. Right. And, you know, the whole balloon thing was damn funny. I just got to say that it was damn funny. I haven't gone through a time that I laughed more internally. Wasn't that scared. Right. You know, OK, well, you know, why are they? Well, who cares? Right. Because we went through all sorts of balloons. Right. There were four balloons before there were four more balloons and we shot balloons down. Damn. Even 2 days ago, I found a balloon. It was in right behind Walmart where I was parking my car, and it lodged itself in between the storm drain and the wall. And I thought to myself, said, Steve, you need to notify the authorities. And I'm like, okay, do I call Neighborhood Watch or Crime Stoppers? Which one of them? That could be a Chinese balloon. Nah, I didn't do it. Didn't do it. Couldn't do it. Didn't want to.
Well,
how much
see,
time
out, out here
basically?
In the middle of my ranch, Steve? Actually, one time out riding around in the middle of the ranch, I found a weather balloon that had come down.
Mm-hmm.
And I could still read it. Said, if you find this, call this number. But that was about all I could see because the cattle had already gotten to it and destroyed it.
Yeah. So what did we find out? So last week it came out that, well, you know why it took two shots to hit the weather balloon in Alaska? Well, we may never know, right? But it's highly probable that weather balloon was...
How many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop? Yeah.
Yeah, the weather balloon that they shot over Alaska, there's good evidence that points, evidence being geopositions of both the, you know, reported shoot down and the club's telemetry and last known response from their balloon. These guys, the North Illinois Bottle Cap Balloon Parade, Alan, the club.
I actually feel a little bit safer. Because if all China has to bring against us is balloon warfare, I thought they had like hypersonic missiles and satellite platforms and nuclear missiles and stuff like that. If all they have to attack us with is balloons, I feel actually a little safer.
I'd be surprised if they were even involved in any of this, except for maybe the manufacture of the balloons.
Google!
No! Nonsense! Distraction! Hegelian dialectic! Problem, reaction, solution. What is the solution, right? Biden came up and he said, "Yeah, I'm going to shoot every damn thing down that I can find." There you go.
Yeah,
that's the end of the thing.
On the subject of gaslighting, Andy's staying here with me. Now, I actually tried that on Andy. Every time Andy get up and go in the kitchen to get a fridge, I'd get up and I'd turn my dimmer down and the lights in here just a little bit more. But apparently I'm not good at it because Andy never noticed it. Either that or he'd already had enough beer that he didn't notice it.
Well, I know you're not that good at
I'm just not a good evil person. Yeah.
That's good. So the responsible parties, Alan, you'll like this little bit, may have been the North Illinois Bottle Cap Balloon Brigade. So they buy these things, right? Yeah. And they buy this one balloon. And it's really cheap and it's affordable. And I can't get the name of it in this article. It says it somewhere. Probably should have, spent a little bit of time on it, but whatever. They buy a balloon. They put like a Raspberry Pi on it and dangle an antenna and off it goes. But they do it at schools, right? So science clubs and so forth. They send the balloon over to the school and the science people. By the people that are the kids that are trying to figure out what they want to do with their life, get to have the experience of programming this little microcomputer, and they get to put together the antenna, right? Cut the links, and then they teach them the difference between UHF and VHF and HF, right? And they say, okay, now we're going to fill it with helium. They've come up with the formula that allows them to put just enough helium into the balloon to get it to sit there. And this balloon, it was on, I think it's a second round around the Earth, or it was like up there for 14 days. It made it one orbit and the other orbit, and then all of a sudden it's cruising in Alaska, and then here comes the U.S. Army, or the Air Force, sorry. The Army can't get up that high. And they flew up, and they're like, there's a balloon. This thing's probably not even 6 feet around, right? And it's just floating up there. And it's translucent. They showed the one that they did. And it's a silverish, right? But it's translucent. So we can understand why it's hard to get a missile lock on a translucent balloon that has very little, metal or anything on it, right? They've got a little Raspberry Pi, probably fishing wire holding it together. And a little bit of wire and a little antenna, right? You don't got very much to ping with radar. You can barely see the damn thing, and you're cruising along at how fast? And you're like, okay, ready? that must have been a son of a bear.
This Chinese balloon, Steve. They said that, we had a U-2 spy plane cruising up at 65,000 feet above the balloon, And I'm like, a U-2? I said, that's like 1940s technology. I thought we had SR-71s and various other planes that could cruise up there. It's like the government comes out and tells us they were still using a U-2 to fly that high. I mean, if that's the truth, we're in a whole lot more trouble than
I don't believe a damn thing when they say that, right? I had a customer last year, and he was an old F-15 fighter jockey, right? And we talked planes while I was doing my thing, and I said, "You ever flow a SR-71?" And he said, "No." but I simulated a shoot down of one once. And I go, wow, how did that work? And they said, well, we were trying to shoot down an SR-71, and it was a training flight. And so what you do is you get the missile, the training missile, right? It's not really a missile. It's just a lock time, and it's all simulated. But you fire the missile, and then you got to stay locked. And he says, I'm going up, and I'm going up. And I leave. He goes, I'm so high now that there really is no oxygen, right? And we're out of it. And all I've got in me is what I've got in my cabin. I'm hoping the seals hold. But I wasn't going to let go of that lock button because I wanted that sucker. Then his engines went out, and he kept the lock for a few more seconds. And then, boom, he wins, right? And then all of a sudden, he's like, okay, second point. Let's try to live. So the plane turns around, starts going down, finally gets engine restart, and he was able to go. But he's like, he tells me this story, and I'm going, damn. And he says that his ceiling was a lot higher than the F-15 ceiling was. And I've heard other people
us, like, yes.
Yeah. And, you know, damn it, Alan. It doesn't take anybody to really understand there's a lot of different ways. And we've had so many years after World War II, they talked about balloons, right? Because they had to. The Japanese weaponized balloons during World War II. So the military was big about trying to figure out how to defend the United States of America. Do you think they didn't have a single conversation about balloon defense technology? No, they had years and years of discussions. They can grab the balloons. They've got to be able to grab a balloon, grab its payload intact, right? You know, that. I mean, Alan, I give us a couple million dollar budget.
See, folks, where these balloons are floating around up there, when you get up to like 60, 65,000 feet, that's above like the jet stream. There is no air blowing around up there because there basically almost is no air. You know, so can they steer them? Yes, Google does it. They can steer those balloons and make them stay over one position. They can move them, regardless of the wind patterns, because the jet stream is much lower down than 60 or 65,000 feet.
I don't know. I know so little about this subject, but it doesn't seem like it needs to be rocket science because it's balloon science. But anyways, that was the Alan?
Yes.
No. Okay. Well, I was just trying to, you know, finish this whole thing up. It's fascinating. The gaslighting, and what was that for, right? We had a little bit of the Project Bluebeam come out in the middle of the nonsense. They were screaming, oh, it's the aliens. And people telling me the aliens are coming. I'm going, really? Really? Yeah, they're going to announce it. You know, they're going to announce it over at the Super Bowl. I said, no, it's going to be the regular Super Bowl. We're going to have some chick or some guy dancing, sexual, satanic, you know, whatever, right? And so, well, now we get a pregnant millennial dancing on, well, didn't even have a stage. I guess they had platforms.
Or we have United States representatives twerking on stage, yeah.
Ah. Disgusting day or no game. I get all pissed off with sports. Not anymore, I guess. I just don't give a crap. You know, I don't care if the Eagles win, the 49ers win, the hockey Masters win.
I kind of like watching camel racing myself. It's almost more interesting than football.
Yeah, well, it depends if they hack the robots on the back, you know, make them shock the monkey more. I don't know. It's a crazy game. Let's see. We got something. Oh, Andy in Texas. He doesn't like his name being bantered around too often without getting some input, I guess. Let's go to Andy in Texas. What do you think, Andy?
Well, hey, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. What a great show. My ears were burning a little bit. But, no, I actually... We always talk about, you know, all this stuff that shows up in front of us, and it's the balloons, and it's the fire in Palestine, and it's real for all the people that get to see it. It seems very real and stuff, but I want to just encourage people to think beyond that. what is the purpose for it? I mean, start using your own brains. What was the purpose for the balloons? There's a purpose behind that. Have I figured it out? No, I haven't been studying all this stuff. I'm just kind of going like everybody else is. But think about this stuff because it's grasping all of our.
I think I just lost Andy.
Did you?
Go ahead. It's grasping our what, Andy?
Well, no, it's grasping.
Cut us by the balls. That's what it has.
Well, yeah, there's a George Carlin mark. I like it. No, but the thing is that everything is just gripping us and stuff. And what is really happening to us? They're killing us. They're killing us. Palestine, Ohio knows that very well right now. There's something going on. And you know, Steve, you said yesterday when we were talking, you said, yeah, there's plenty of train wrecks all over across. How do we know that they're not all planned? You know?
Well, I don't know. I would suspect that most of the trains that wrecks are benign. That's what they only affect one person, the dumbass in the driver's seat that collides with the front of a train for some reason. You know,
you spoke about that PTSD or what is it?
Yeah, post-traumatic stress disorder. Riding Amtrak to work all the time. Back in California, I can remember at least one time where my train hit a car and the person died. I think it happened multiple times. I was kind of fascinated at it for a while and did a little bit of research on it because I didn't understand it. And I read an article that said, like, out of the 80 drivers, the train drivers, railroad woo-woo guys, right, that 90% of them, you know, or the majority of them have killed someone in their train. I'm kind of like, whoa, that's pretty interesting, right? And a lot of them, I forget the number, right? And I might be even skewing some of these numbers, but it was high. It was up near that 90 mark. It had killed multiple people. Right. So you never know when you get on one of them damn trains if you're going to kill something. Right. What about you versus a cow? Move. Gone.
On this subject, I can remember when I was two to when I was five, we lived. My dad was in the military, you know, and we lived in Darmstadt, Germany, in from 1964 to 67, I believe it was. And the one thing that my parents drilled into us is, like, when you go out to play, do not ever get on the train tracks or close to the train tracks because the trains over there go very fast, and they can be up on you in a second. They said, you know, don't ever let us hear about you being on or around the train tracks. And we took that to heart. I can remember we played, and you'd be sitting there playing, and all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, it's like, blah, 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 blah. The train comes, and it's gone.
Yeah.
Well, hey, so, but on the same token, Alan, there's an experience that you had. Okay, so I grew up in Spokane, Washington, and just two blocks away was the train rail station where they had the little twisty thing that could turn train cars around and stuff and all that
turntable,
stuff.
Turntable, yeah.
Now, and what I did was I utilized that. I don't know. It's just kid ingenuity. We walked down there instead of walking 12, 14 blocks down to downtown Spokane to get to the wonderful park down there. They have a riverfront park. But instead of doing that, we'd walk over to the train tracks two blocks away. And there's always – because here's the thing. The train went through the city extremely slow. It was enough where you could actually grab the damn train. There's open cars and stuff. You jump on the damn train, you'd ride downtown. So that's what my thing is with Palestine, Ohio. And I'm really worried for these people. You know, if anybody gets the impression that I'm not worried about it, it's just flipping crazy, and we don't know if it's whatever. But that it seems to me that train was rolling far too fast. Look at the crash and how these things just there was momentum because some of those trains went past the train, the car in front of it and whatnot. So these people were moving relatively fast when they did this. So, and they're just in the East Palestine. They wouldn't have picked up speed till the entire train. Well, they would have started probably as they, because it takes a long time to get up to speed, but they would have started. It just seems very peculiar to me. And no, Steve, I get it. I mean, there are a lot of train wrecks and stuff, but I just, I'm not sure if that stuff is planned or not.
I don't know. I feel like I'm being gaslit there. I will also say that it's a real tragedy. But then I'm getting gaslighting from the alternate media timeline. It's creating DNA modifiers and this and that and right now. And my God, the usual suspects are out there on alternate media websites hyping it, you know, for clicks and hit counts. And they don't know. And they're basing it off upon science, just like the global warmists. Oh, God.
Well, you're right, Steve. Steve, you're absolutely right. And one thing that's going on, that I talked to Alan about this, you know, off air and whatnot. I mean, we've got all of these people talking about the same stuff. And let's just go with COVID. We take COVID and everybody is talking about it in a certain way and stuff, but we're not actually putting it together. There's no real evidence coming out of it. Somebody says it's spike protein. Somebody says it's this other thing, this chloride thing, and somebody says it's nanoparticles. And also, we can't get on the same sheet of music. But the one thing we can agree upon is that they used COVID to start taking everything away from us, and then they turned this entire program that's going on. And you know this, Steve. I talked to you yesterday about this. You feel it every time I said something about it. You're like, absolutely. Yet we are getting to the end of the road here, and you know where the pavement meets the grass. We're right there, and closer. That's what's really happening right now.
Yeah, it's closer, you know.
And like I've said many times, folks. The only thing I can say about, you know, I don't have electron microscopes, you know, none of the laboratories and everything, you know, to look at this stuff with. The only thing I can say is that I did stick a maggot to my mom's arm, and I said, move your arm around, and it stayed on there. And there was no super glue or anything on the magnet. Mm-hmm. And it only stuck at the injection site. It's the only thing I can say for damn sure is that I know a magnet ain't supposed to stick to your body.
How many people out there do you know that are dying from... Well, something that really surely seems like it was the injection, right? One of the injections. Maybe we could just guess that it's that. You know, because I've got at least two people in the hospital that I know that were injectolots. And then one infant that I know of from a vaccinated person that I know, right? We're not friends or anything. But it didn't come out too well. But the baby's still alive, the little girl. But, you know, how many people were poisoned during that time? You know, and am I just guessing or overlapping that? Because I think
Steve, I spent the night at your house the other night. And that night I talked to my wife. I told you about this. And my wife is an ex-wife. Is an actual victim to everything that's going on, just like Alan's mom is, just like my mom. My mom was killed on a ventilator in a hospital in Spokane, Washington, in the very hospital I was born in. She was killed with a ventilator, and she had gotten a shot. And that's the thing with these older folks and stuff. They have a tendency to believe that their doctors know everything they need to know about keeping me healthy, and it's the exact opposite. Yeah, but the thing is that my ex-wife called me finally after years of telling her, being on her ass, telling her this is the stuff that's coming and stuff. This woman called me last night, and she sat there and let me talk after she told me the whole scenario. And she actually beat around the bush a lot until she got to it. And I said I had to bring her back to the subject. And she's got a chronic cough. And the only thing I can think of, because I'm not a doctor, was that there's blood clots and stuff going on. And this is the thing that we have to get used to here, people. People around you who took the shot are going to start dying. And you know what? It is my ex-wife, and I do have some grief with her, but I'm going to cry when she dies. I lived my life, almost 18 years with this woman. I will cry when she dies. And it's terrible, people. It's absolutely flipping terrible what they're doing to us.
Kind of like my mom, you know, we never had a family doctor. My mom was just what you would call sickeningly healthy. We all, you know, our whole family basically has been that way. except for when my dad died of colon. No, he didn't die of colon cancer. He died of chemotherapy and radiation. But no, you know, it's like my mother now has chronic lymphatic leukemia. All of a sudden pops up after she took the two Moderna vaccines. Did not get the boosters because after I stuck a magnet on her arm, I think she realized that I might have been telling the truth a little bit. But now, you know, it's like I'm one of the lucky ones. I belong somewhere. You know, I've got someone who did this crap and is now dying of chronic lymphatic leukemia.
I don't think we hear of a lot of them. You know, they don't talk about that. You know, it's not talked
about. Like I said, I was going to the oncology clinics. It blew my mind. I was like, oh my, it was like people walking in and out of Walmart. I mean, it was nonstop at the oncology clinic in our small town, Steve. And,
I don't even know what
one of them.
Oncology is. What is oncology?
Oncology is a cancer clinic.
Oh, okay. Why do they call it oncology?
Well, that's what the Latin term is, oncology. That just means a cancer doctor.
Well, hey, there's a play on words again, Steve. The play on words. I mean, unless you want to know what oncology means, you won't look it up. I've done that too. Hey, Alan just enlightened me. I didn't know it was a cancer thing. But look at how they do the words. You know, like I said to Alan the other day, I'm looking at his dictionary 24/7. It's like 3 inches thick. We could come up with a language. You know, there's got to be a pseudonym to I, we, the, but, all this stuff. All these different words have another word that means something to it. We could actually come up with another language, and that's what these people are doing to manipulate us, is they're using another language.
They call it NSOC, if you want to go back to 1984. Yeah.
Well, we'll think about the is thing with Bill Clinton. Oh, it depends on what is. So these people they're using much more verbiage than we are, and that's how they're getting around this. Because technically speaking, they're only getting around it because, you know, if you bring it to a lawsuit and stuff, then you might find out, you know, what their words actually mean. You could actually question them in court if it was a legitimate court. We're not in the real world anymore. Idiocracy, as Alan would call it. And if people really want to see what's going on, it is the complete dummy down of the world, and Idiocracy is a great... As we're sitting here talking on the radio, we're watching Wag the Dog, and that's the multiple times you should be watching this. You know, Robert De Niro, and you got Dustin Hoffman. It's actually, you know, it's just something... Wow, we're in a real world.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen, I'll let you go. I took up enough of your time.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. And Wag the Dog. That was like one of the best ones around. Man, we just did an hour. Oh, well, we've got a lot more to cover on the second hour.
And it's kind of weird, Steve. We blew through all the breaks. I don't know if we're just so mesmerizing that, I'm a little confused, but I'm not complaining about it.
You're pretty much confused. That's fine. You know, most people are. That's exactly what I was just going to say. You know, so what about these poor sobs? Well, when's the last time I used that word? These poor people that actually fell for the fear, you know, completely back in 2021, right? The injectables, right? They took them. Now they're years into. We had a conversation last week, which was really good, about, you know, people driving around in their cars that were well-informed maskers, you know, and actually needing them. And I don't know, I don't have any direct firsthand knowledge of that. I do have a lot of firsthand knowledge to of people just being so damn afraid of everything.
Steve, I still love the story you told about when all this started up. You went over to a construction site to do some computer work, run lines and stuff. And what was it? A guy came out of the back room with a mask on, and you looked at him and you said, "COVID?" He goes, "No, I'm standing drywall in the back room."
Yeah, I was watching that. That was during the countdown of 2020. You know, you watch all the masks, and you're like, I'd come back and I'd call you up, and I go, Alan, I saw 3 masks when I went into Walmart. Alan, I saw 5 masks. You know, I'm like waiting for this crazy shenanigans. I see you there, Lauren. You just hang on because we're going to go through the top of the hour break and then we'll bring you on. Don't want to kind of bring you in and then do other stuff. But there's still a couple things I want to get to, you know, and but we will get to the Lauren for sure. Apple's bleeding contractors. Did you know that? That's going to be fascinating. You know, it's a coming up end of the world for tech giants. We're going to be talking a little bit more about Ellen's show at 2 o'clock today. It's a